The holiday season should remind us that faith and family are the most important things in life. I'm Rick Julius, a partner at Cordell & Cordell. We hope that you succeed in coming together this holiday season with those you love to create wonderful memories. Holidays have this magical power to magnify small things into ever greater memories over time.
Schedule an appointment with one of our Missouri or Illinois attorneys. The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements. 600 Kelwood Parkway, Suite 310, Town and Country, Missouri, 63017. Joseph Cordell, licensed in Missouri and Illinois only. CordellCordell.com.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
The worms crawl in, the worms crawl out. They'll eat your guts and spit them out. And when your bones begin to rot, the worms remain, but you do not. So don't ever laugh as a hearse goes by, for someday you'll be next in line. And when death brings his cold despair, ask yourself, will anyone care?
Macabre may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
No spookies in the background?
Hey, I am a chicken shit, and I did keep looking around just because I'm like, yeah.
All is clear?
All is good. Kay. All is good.
Did you burn some sage or like light a candle or something like that?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. When I'm done with this, I'm going to ruin. I will probably come home from work and be like, ooh, we make food? No. Making good, though. Fuck. Yeah, that.
I will not speak the thing which causes the negative energy, but.
Yeah. No, I'm not a fan that just continues to seem like be a thing.
Always pops up. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Well, hopefully we can come into this episode and start fresh.
Yes. Mysterious, but good vibes.
Yeah. We need a good mystery up in here.
It's been a while.
It's kind of where I actually started with this, but we'll get into that. Welcome back, listeners, to another episode of Hometown Macabre. Thank you for choosing Macabre, a dark history podcast, for your entertainment of the hour. I feel like a stewardess all of a sudden. That's very much like the stewardess vibes. My name is Hallie.
Claire.
And today's episode is going to be a little bit different. I'm very excited about this one because we haven't done a lot of unsolved mysteries on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, we've done some, but not a lot. And I don't know that I can say with 100% certainty that the content we're covering or what we're covering today isn't solved, but I don't know. We'll get into that, of course, but there's one theory that we're going to talk about that's pretty compelling. And Blair, I'll get your thoughts on that at the end.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, listeners, on Macabre, we like to keep the mystery alive and it's always fun to speculate. So today we are going to talk about the lost colony of Roanoke Island, aka Croatoan. You might be familiar with that word. Mm-hmm. And the disappearance of the colonial settlers still feels like the right time of year for this episode. We just came out of spooky season, recording this in mid-November. Oh, yeah, still feels appropriate. I mean, let's be honest, spooky season all year round for us.
Yeah,
we love a good spooky story, and this one definitely has that spook factor to it. So,
definitely.
Here in the Midwest, the weather has shifted to that gloom and doom feeling, at least where we live.
Mm-hmm.
The leaves are all falling, the air is heavy and cold, sun is setting before dinner time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So buckle up and let's just get into it.
Yeah, I'm excited.
All right, well, let's set the scene. Roanoke Island is an 8-mile stretch of land that's located in Dare County and is bordered by the Outer Banks of North Carolina, which is now a big tourist destination. The island was named after Roanoke, a Carolina Algonquin people who inhabited the area in the 16th century during the time of English colonization. It was the year of our Lord 1587 when a group of a little over 100 English settlers arrived on Roanoke Island, led by a man by the name of John White. And John was a man of many talents. He was an explorer, obviously, but he was also a cartographer and a colonial governor. Interestingly enough, he had an artistic side, which many people may not know about.
Still white.
Yeah. So what he was famous for was he was a well-known British artist that produced watercolor paintings of the Native Americans living their lives. And throughout his artworks, he captured images of the local flora and fauna. And his works were actually considered the most accurate visual record of the New World by an artist of his time. So
cool.
Yeah, I thought that was a pretty cool fun fact.
Yeah.
So kind of want to just give you a little background on him before we get into the main part of the story. Now, the Roanoke colony would have been the first permanently established English settlement in the New World by the English if it hadn't disappeared 3 years later. Now, another fact that listeners might not know is that prior to John White's arrival, another group of colonists tried to settle Roanoke Island just 2 years earlier, and it was not successful. The initial group was faced with all kinds of problems. They were attacked by hostile Native Americans living in the area at the time. They had food shortage issues. A lot of people died. And so the people that were left just basically gave up and said, screw this, and headed back on a ship to England. And as it turns out, they probably had the right idea, if you know what I mean. I don't know. I still can't fathom. And we talked about when we did the Donner Party episode, this idea of people traveling by sea at these long distances and coming to the New World with this dream of exploring and starting a new life and all this stuff and just the stuff they would have had to endure just getting across the ocean, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, what if at one point you changed your mind and you're on this long ass ship ride, you know?
And just imagine for me having motion sickness, like that's my worst nightmare, being stuck on there for months at a time.
And like, can you imagine being pregnant and then having to deliver on board? Oh,
it's funny that you mentioned that.
What?
Okay, here we go. Okay, so John White and his group of colonists were determined to make the second attempt. And John brought with him on the long journey his wife, his very pregnant daughter, and his son-in-law. So yeah, his daughter was very pregnant on that journey. And after arriving, our man of the hour, John White, took on the role of governor in his first year of the colony's settlement. But as you can imagine, the first year in the New World wasn't an easy one. Times were difficult, and the colonists faced the same issues that our first group of settlers had dealt with, the biggest issue being a lack of resources. And you would have thought they would have learned a lesson from the first failed attempt, but clearly they did not. Mm-hmm. Now, when they arrived, and by the time the resources started dwindling, they were looking at heading into the winter months. Problematic.
Very.
Because they didn't have time to grow any new crops or increase their livestock numbers. So what did John do? Well, his only option really was to head back to England to get more supplies. And this meant that he had to make a decision to leave behind his wife, his daughter, and now their 1 week old newborn granddaughter, or his 1 week old granddaughter. It was literally the only viable option. So yeah, this trip to the homeland and back was only supposed to take him 6 months, but nothing ever goes according to plan. And nope, especially when we do a story on Macabre, never goes to plan.
Exactly.
So it took him 2.5 months to sail across the transatlantic, and things were looking pretty good at that time. That's kind of the reasonable time frame. When he got back to England, he was able to get 5 ships in total and load them up with supplies. But then Queen Elizabeth I basically stopped the ships from going out to sea because England was in conflict with the Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
So at this time, England and Spain were pretty much ready to go to war with each other. And the reason being, England was in a race to settle the Americas because they kept seeing all these Spanish ships coming by loaded down with gold. And word was they were loading the ships from their travels around Mexico and parts of Florida. England at that time, they were kind of a poor state. So they wanted to get in on that action, and they were really focused on trying to colonize and then, you know, figure out how to get some of that gold, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
But this conflict was really intensifying between the Spanish and English, and Queen Elizabeth was like, well, I need to pull back from trying to colonize right now, and I need to focus on the war at hand, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So she was like, John, we can't send you and your ships across right now. We need to focus our cash flow elsewhere. So this meant that John White had to stay in England for the foreseeable future. So he wouldn't be able to return to Roanoke Island for 3 years.
Gosh.
Yeah. So first of all, could you imagine? You're his wife, okay?
Hmm?
Your husband leaves. You don't want him to go in the first place, right? Because obvious reasons. But then realistically, everyone in that situation has to make some sort of a sacrifice to increase their chances of survival.
Mm-hmm.
But damn. And then you already know the conditions they're facing, right? They have limited resources. So it's not a great situation for anyone involved. And then when you expect him to come back, 6 months go by and he doesn't return. And also keep in mind that the colonists are kind of isolated, like literally isolated. Mm-hmm. They're not getting word from the mainland.
Oh.
There's no like letters or any way for them to know what's happening. So just time passes and they're like, well, I don't see a ship today. I don't see a ship the next day. I don't see a ship the next day. And time just keeps moving like that. And the hope that they had would just continue to diminish. Meanwhile, their supplies, stores are getting worse, and just every possible thing that could go wrong is going wrong.
Mm-hmm. And I can't imagine the other thoughts going through your head of like, did he make it? Did he die?
Yeah.
Yeah.
At sea? Mm-hmm. Did he get attacked by the Spanish?
Right. And then just knowing, and then to have the thought that oh, I am now in charge of a grandchild, you know, I am now, you know, having to try to help with this. And, you know, the now head of the family would be the son-in-law, but it's like what's going through his head. He's like, I just, you know, created a family and a suddenly new fam, new country, who dis? And just, yeah, I can't even fathom any of that. And then to know that their first basic experience really is the cold months.
Yeah.
States.
And fortunately, they were in North Carolina.
Right. So it wasn't as bad. But
right. Right.
Yeah.
They didn't have to do like the harsh winters like the other settlements in New England and New York. But
right.
Let's talk about the fact that at some point they might have to deal with hurricanes and tropical storms.
Exactly.
So they were on an island.
Yeah.
So there's that. Not only that, but we know they're surrounded by local tribes that are indigenous to the area. And because of the first attempt at settling the area, we know that some of them are hostile.
Mm-hmm.
So we have that kind of threat that you always kind of have to keep in the back of your mind that you're worrying about. And I don't know what they had to protect themselves. You know, it doesn't sound like we have an inventory of the list of things that they had to keep themselves safe. But I can't imagine it would have been a lot in the 1500s. What are we talking about weapon-wise?
You would have a very, well, probably inaccurate pistol.
Yeah.
It probably got jammed all the time and you had to constantly clean it with other resources.
Maybe some sort of like sword or dagger or something like that.
Yep.
Maybe machete because of trying to hack up
right.
stuff in right. the foliage, clearing land and stuff like that. But yeah, not great options.
Oh. Oh my gosh, no. I can't even imagine.
So yeah, as time passes, they would have been facing starvation, disease, threat of violence, and just not a good situation considering at this point they would have been like, no one's coming to save us. Yeah. So this is where the mystery of the story really begins. So we said John comes back 3 years later. So we're looking at 1590 when he returns to Roanoke Island. When he comes back, what he finds is that everyone and everything has gone missing. I mean, vanished. Not just the people, but even the buildings have been dismantled. There are no signs of human remains. So no bones or anything like that to indicate that there's been a struggle or an attack from an outside threat. All of the tools are gone. There are no boats. Literally everything is just gone. So the question is, where did they all go? Mm-hmm. Where's all the stuff? And the only real clue that was left behind is probably what everybody is familiar with about the story. Is that word, Croatoan, which was carved in a wooden fence post. And then there was a second clue that was carved into a tree, and it was the word C-R-O, crow. So the question here is, what was the intention of this cryptic message? And this is really like the biggest mystery that remains today, is no one really knows what the meaning of this was, but there is speculation. And what we do know about the word Croatoan is that it is a name for the local Native American tribe, or one of them, in the area. The question is, why was this the only message that was left behind? Did they leave the message because they were leaving with them? Were they attacked? Why this message, right? So yeah, that's, I guess, the question that everybody's been trying to answer since it was found. So,
spooky.
I think we have to talk about some of the theories, and then we can talk about why some of them don't make sense. And then we'll talk about the one that is really, really interesting to me. And then we'll just talk about thoughts and stuff like that.
Right. I like that.
All right. So here are the leading theories. One of the theories is that the colonists just up and left, took everything and went out to sea. And they were like, we're just going to try to go back to England, right? They had boats and stuff like that. The theory is that they tried to leave and then possibly were attacked by Spaniards around Florida. Because that was kind of the threat at the time, right? Because we were on the brink, or England was on the brink of war with the Spanish. But there's no real evidence of this. And why would they like dismantle the whole settlement is my question.
Right.
Couldn't they just have left it? Did they need all that stuff?
Right.
So, yeah. Thoughts on that?
I agree with you. I don't think it's that. Because when you have an area that you had already worked on, and something happens to where you would have to, a scenario where you would have to dismantle the whole area of livelihood, there's something else there. If something was attacked, the only thing that comes to mind right away is, okay, they were attacked, everything got annihilated, things were burned, things were thrown into the ocean, you know, and things happened in that kind of fashion. But because there was no trace of anything, either they were completely out of literally everything, that they had nothing else left to lose, which still doesn't go for the fact that they dismantled all of the buildings, but yeah.
So yeah, that's kind of weird. That doesn't really make sense to me for the theory of them leaving out to sea. Okay. Yeah. The other theory that I don't think holds any water is mass death or famine. And just for obvious reasons. Sure, they would have faced starvation and disease just because of a lack of resources and potential exposures and just, you know, not being in good health and stuff like that.
Right.
But if that was the case, then you would have found evidence of human remains. cannibalism, right? Right? Mm-hmm. We might have seen that people resorting to cannibalism, which is not the case. Mm-hmm. The other theory was that because of what happened the first time around, like the threat of hostile encounters with the native tribes in the area, maybe they were attacked. Again, you would think that there would be evidence of human remains. Mm-hmm. Now, one of the other theories is that maybe they were attacked and taken in as slaves.
Mm-hmm. I've heard that theory too.
Possible, I guess. But again, it still doesn't explain the dismantling unless the natives came back and took that stuff for themselves.
Right. Which that is possible.
Could totally be possible. And it would be interesting to see if there's evidence of that ever comes up in an archaeological excavation or something like that in the future. But depending on the materials they were using, it could be highly unlikely that that would ever show up.
Right. Just because they were already having to work with some pretty makeshift things, that'd be really hard to distinguish now after so many years in underground.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Most weight loss plans are one size fits all, not taking into account each person's individual needs. Noom is here to change that. Noom Weight uses psychology. That's why they say losing weight starts with your brain, but it also takes into account your unique biological factors, which also affect weight loss success. The program helps you understand the science behind your eating choices and why you have cravings. Everyone's journey is different, so your daily lessons are personalized to you and your goals. One of the great things about Noom is that it's nourishing instead of restrictive. They focus on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs, or anything for that matter. Have cravings? Food FOMO? Noom can help you lose weight while still enjoying your favorite foods. To date, Noom has helped more than 5.2 million people lose weight. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com.
And then the other theory is that they just fled the area and tried to go to a place with a little more resources, which I think is probably pretty probable. But I don't know, like, again, why would they dismantle? I mean, they could have dismantled stuff. They could have used the boats to haul things back and forth to a certain point just to rebuild. So that kind of makes sense to me that they could have done that. I mean, we're talking 3 years they had to get this done before John White returned. So that's a long time to try to get this accomplished.
Especially when he said he was going to be back in 6 months. I mean, they were probably by month 7, like, okay, you know, we need to think of another plan because, let me tell you, we're not waiting around anymore, you know?
Yeah. Even if they gave it a year.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Ooh, yeah.
Yeah.
And then it makes you wonder, out of everybody that landed with him the first time, how many people even survived the first year, you know? Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. We'll get into that. Okay, so the Croatoan, right? We mentioned that being the cryptic phrase that was carved. So they are the local Native Americans. So one of the big theories is that the colony integrated with this tribe, which are the modern day Hatteras Island, where they would be located. And the evidence to support this theory is that modern day artifacts have been found at the archaeological sites with some English style pottery and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So that is could totally be. The tribe is located just south of Roanoke Island. But playing devil's advocate, I'm like, if they left the site, stuff could have got left behind. Mm-hmm. Couldn't have taken everything with them. And these people could have come in and just like, hey, this is cool. We're going to take this back to our place.
Mm-hmm.
So it being there doesn't necessarily mean that they join them.
Right.
Could have just been a matter of like, this colony is vacant and there's some stuff left behind. Why don't we make use of it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could definitely see that.
Now, there was an archaeological site discovered along the Alligator River, which was slightly inland from Roanoke Island, and it included a burial site. The coffins found here have Christian markings on them, but there is no conclusive evidence to support that these coffins or burial plots belong to the Roanoke colonists. So it's just like just a random burial site that has some coffins with Christian markings on them. But it's not too far from where the colony would have been. So just an interesting tidbit fact to keep in mind.
Mm.
Now, there was a DNA project that was started back in 2007.
Mm.
And this project was started in an attempt to identify people who think they might be descendants of the Roanoke colonists who may have integrated with the Native American tribes.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Well, so far, there has been no evidence to support this theory.
Okay. Huh. Interesting.
But so keep that nugget in mind because I'm going to come back to it at the end.
Okay.
Because I have a little bit more, a couple nuggets that will build on that and then we can dissect that a little bit.
Okay.
Okay. Now here's the most interesting part for me. Okay. Have you ever heard of the Dare Stones?
Yes.
Okay. So, in 1937, a written account in Old English was found etched into a rock about 60 miles west of Roanoke Island by a man named Lewis Hammond, who was out hunting hickory nuts at the time. This rock was taken to Emory University in Atlanta, Georgia, for analysis by Dr. Haywood Pierce, a history professor. He determined that the message reports the death of Ananias Dare and Virginia Dare, who would have been John White's son-in-law and granddaughter, 91. His granddaughter was 4 years old at the time.
Mm.
So if this stone is real, it would prove that they would have been alive while John White was out looking for them a year earlier at the site of the original settlement.
Mm-hmm.
This rock included a longer inscription on the back that basically gave an account of their journey, leaving the island, heading west, and what happened leading up to their departure. It details the colonists facing starvation, disease, and attacks by the local hostile indigenous tribes.
Mm-hmm.
What started as a colony of a little over 100 people was reduced to only 7 surviving members.
What?
And this was written by John White's daughter, Eleanor Dare, or believed to be written by her. Now, the stone also indicated that there was a second stone that existed with some additional information, including the names of the dead members of the colony. A couple of years later, a man by the name of Bill Everhart allegedly finds the second stone. This stone was also found in North Carolina in some like backwoods location. And as promised from what was said on the first stone, this stone included the names of the dead members from the colony that Eleanor Dare mentioned. And she had carved into them, as mentioned on the first stone. And over the course of a year, allegedly a dozen more stones were found.
Hmm.
These stones are now collectively known as the Dare Stones, and they tell a very compelling story of the survivors and their journey leaving Roanoke Island. So here is what the stones say actually happened. The Dare Stones say that the survivors migrated 500 miles to Georgia, and at some point they integrated with a Native American tribe. Eleanor's husband and daughter died, and Eleanor ended up marrying a Native American man in 1593. It's said that she had another daughter, and then Eleanor died 6 years later in 1599.
Hmm.
Now, some academics have challenged the Dare Stones, saying they are largely a hoax. Largely.
Okay.
It's believed that only one of them, the original stone found in 1937, is authentic.
Really? So, okay.
For now, I guess the mystery is still a mystery. But if the first stone was real, it does prove that they left the original colony and traveled at least 60 miles west.
Yeah. Which, that is what I believe happened. Like, I think it was a combination of two theories. Because, of course, like, you're left with minimal resources at a really inopportune time of the year. Of course, there's going to be famine and illness and heated, you know, arguments and stuff with each other. And a lot's going to happen. I really think that they, you know, didn't make it past a year on that island. I really think that they were already ready to go and had a game plan. My theory is, yes, they did go somewhere, got off of that island, they moved on. I do believe they had help from a local tribe. I don't think they would have been able to do that on their own. No, and obviously, yeah, there's a lot of reports of like, hey, there were some hostile tribes out there, but not all of them were. There was one record I had read that they're not, and it wasn't like the entire tribe, but like there were a few friendly faces that befriended a couple of people that ended up helping. They were speculating on how much help they gave, but I have a feeling that that was kind of what happened. They at least guided them out, maybe in a safer, more helpful direction, but just kind of said like, hey, here's what you should do. Maybe we'll take you up to this point and then good luck, you know?
The Croatoans were known for having good relationships with them too.
Yeah.
And then the area where that first stone was found was near like a river and was supposed to have been known for being like very fertile land.
Mm-hmm.
So like good for growing crops and stuff like that. So to me, that seems the most feasible.
Mm-hmm.
And if the other stones were real too, and she did end up marrying into a Native American tribe, if they did DNA testing and they like tried to target that area for whatever reason, they said she had a daughter, right? But then she died 6 years later. Mm-hmm. So this daughter would have only been 6 years old. How do we know the daughter didn't die?
Right. That was actually going to be something I asked you.
Yeah, we don't know. So if it was true and that's what happened, there's no way to know like the fate of that child or if that DNA line or any of the people that survive. Like, we don't know who,
right.
You know, like if any of that DNA carried on, like
exactly.
If there'd be anything left to test at that point.
Yeah, so I wholeheartedly agree with you on that because it doesn't say out of if, you know, that is true. And there was only seven left. How many were male? How many were female? And then who ended up marrying where? And then on top of that, if it was less than seven that ended up marrying on, and there was children, like you said, there's not going to be any sort of record. And so at this point, trying to do all of the DNA testing, it would basically be pointless, you know?
Yeah. Be really hard to prove that. Yeah.
Really, really hard.
Yes, I don't know that this will ever be solved fully. I think we have a pretty good idea of what went down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think it was the whole spooky supernatural mystery that they try to play it off as. I mean, part of me is like, oh, it'd be so cool if this is some creepy thing. But it's obviously been in pop culture and shows. It's been in, like the one episode Croatoan was on Supernatural. If you're a fan of Supernatural, that is season 2, episode 9. And then, of course,
early on.
Yeah, it was early on. So that was the first episode where they really talk about kind of the fate of the future of the world. And this was kind of where they introduced that virus, the idea of like the virus. So that one's a really good one if you're into that. And then American Horror Story, of course, has its own season. Season 6, Roanoke, if you want to check that out. But yeah, I figured this would be a little bit shorter of a Hometown Macabre episode because we just don't have a lot to go off of. So it's a lot of speculation. And
but good speculation.
I'd be curious to see what listeners think and kind of what theories are out there. I mean, the fact that stuff was dismantled is interesting. It's And the other thing is, like, they said that only 7 people survived. What did they do with the bodies?
Wait. Like, if they're on the island, are they tossing them into the sea?
That's the only thing I could think of is, are they just, for the sake of not having to bury them? Wait. Because maybe they didn't have the resources to do that, or they just bury them at sea?
Right. Because you would also think that there would be some sort of marker if they had buried them.
Like a Christian burial. They would need a Christian burial.
Even if it was sticks and they snapped them and made some, you know, sort of headstone out of it, like there would be something. So that's why I feel like if that's the case, it had to have been in the sea. And then because everything was dismantled, that's another reason why I think they had a little bit of help, you know, to get out of there. And yeah, that's the only thing that makes sense out of that. Because even, like, think about it. If there was any sort of, like, burn the body or anything, like, there would still be some sort of
bone fragment. And stuff.
Yeah,
definitely. Yeah, I wonder what the rules would have been at the time about, like, body disposal, like, in the late 1500s. Yep. Well, and if disease was a thing, there would have been this kind of, probably this mindset of getting rid of the body, right? If there was disease present, they might have wanted to do the whole burial at sea because of a risk of exposure and contamination. Because at that time, there was still this concept of like miasma and all that, right? So maybe. See.
That's a question. I mean, not that that would probably really show up now, but I wonder if they've ever done like a diving excavation around that island. Just to see.
I'm looking this up now.
It would be interesting.
Yeah, I don't think there's really any way to know what they would have chosen to do because I don't think it would have fit the norm because they were working with different set of circumstances. And that would have been a lot of bodies.
A lot. Which also makes me think, like, at that point, they're probably like, we're definitely not burying them. Like, they're going to have to go in the water, you know?
Yeah. Well, yeah. That is all I have for this episode of Hometown Macabre.
Mysterious.
It wasn't a strange virus or an alien abduction like some of the theories, the wilder theories out there, or Bigfoot or anything like that. Sorry to disappoint.
Yeah.
But yeah, just thinking of it from a logical perspective, I think knowing that there was a potential to connect with other humans in the area that you had already built some relationships with that would have known where to find resources and things like that, I think it makes sense that you would either want to join forces or look to them for guidance on where you could go, but most likely join forces.
Right. Exactly. And maybe something that doesn't necessarily get talked about a lot, but maybe they had help from a really early stage because maybe they lasted as long as they did before they made the move because of outside help. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong on that, but
yeah.
And so many things.
And so the note that they had left behind, John White went to where he thought the Croatoan were, but he went to the wrong location. Because they had gone, you know, they had since relocated. So he went to the wrong spot. He went expecting to be like welcomed and all this. And there was nobody there because they had gone somewhere else. So who knows?
Mystery thickens. There's so many things that just,
But yeah, kudos to our ancestors who made it. That's why we're here.
Right? Because whole and tough journeys. Anybody who dared to do it, good on you.
They have more cojones than I do.
Same here. Same here. I have a hard enough time just going to the grocery store sometimes.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I think I would have probably died from dehydration from all of the getting sick from being seasick. I don't think I would have made it across the ocean.
Same.
Yeah. So
definitely. Or
worst ways to die.
That yeah, would have been definitely.
Me.
Or I would have had illness. Your girl's got immuno problems.
You know, then you might not have.
Maybe.
You might have been healthier back then because of
maybe.
But yeah, listeners, if you, speaking of worst ways to die, if you want some bonus content, come on over to the Patreon. We have a little morsel over there episode about worst ways to die in ancient Greece and one guy in China. And then we have another installment of the morsel coming up. Blair, you can drop that nugget for people.
Yeah, so we are going to do the next segment on unusual strange deaths in the Middle Ages.
Oh, it's going to be so good.
Uh-huh.
I can't wait.
Things that I have read have been very funny, so we are
I can't wait.
We need to see if it tops Eschius or whatever his name was.
You can't tell. You got to keep that under wraps.
I'm not going to. Yeah, man, I cried so hard laughing. It was so funny.
So good.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's all I have for this episode. You want to take us out?
Heck yeah. Listeners, this is A Hometown Macabre. And you know what that means? That means you are able to submit for your own hometown because we know you've got some stories and we want to hear them. You can send those to us at thatssomacabre@gmail.com. You can talk it out with us on our SpeakPipe on macabrepod.com. As Hallie was saying, we are on Patreon. You want to get that early? You want to get that ad-free? You can do it on Patreon. You can join us in the fabulous fam over on Facebook. And you can definitely leave a rating and review on your favorite podcast platform because we like to see that. We like to hear it. See how we're doing. Tell a buddy, and have fun. Say friends. Be kind. We will shock you later. Bye!
The holiday season should remind us that faith and family are the most important things in life. I'm Rick Julius, a partner at Cordell & Cordell. We hope that you succeed in coming together this holiday season with those you love to create wonderful memories. Holidays have this magical power to magnify small things into ever greater memories over time.
Schedule an appointment with one of our Missouri or Illinois attorneys. The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements. 600 Kelwood Parkway, Suite 310, Town & Country, Missouri, 63017. Joseph Cordell, licensed in Missouri and Illinois only. CordellCordell.com.
How do you feel when you switch to GEICO and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, "Happy Friday!" Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with GEICO feels just like that. Get more with GEICO.
Save big this holiday season. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.